Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning into the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, the co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Happy Monday, Dr. Paul.
Oh, very good. You know, we have a special guest today.
Exactly.
Somebody we've known for a long time. I've known him for a longer time than you.
You have.
And that's our friend from the Mises Institute, the founder of the Mises Institute. He's somebody I've worked with since the 1970s in many educational projects. Lou, it's good to have you on our program today.
Dr. Paul, great to be with you and Daniel.
Good. I understand that the Mises Institute is coming to this place called Lake Jackson. You know, you're all over the place. You travel around the country, and I've gone to a few of those conferences, but now the conference is coming to me. What an honor to have the Mises Institute come to Lake Jackson. So we're delighted with that, and Daniel's, as usual, be very much involved with what we're doing, but give us a little update on what your plans are.
Well, first of all, Lake Jackson, of course, is the town made famous by being the home of Ron Paul. Some people try to claim it's Dow Chemical, but it's known as Ron Paul's home to all of us who follow Dr. Paul through his magnificent career and everything he's done, among many other things for the cause of peace. This is America's great leader for peace, for non-intervention, for a very long time. We're so pleased to have you on the board of the Mises Institute. We're so thrilled to be associated with you, Ron Paul, in every sense. And so we're just feeling excited about going to Lake Jackson. For those who are not in the area, Lake Jackson is about an easy 45-minute drive from Hobby Airport in Houston. It's a very nice town, and besides being Ron's hometown, or at least his current hometown, he's from Pittsburgh, of course, but for many years in Lake Jackson, where he had first his medical practice, and then, of course, the headquarters of his political campaigns, and then and now the headquarters of the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. And so the Mises Institute is going to be putting on a symposium with Ron Paul to talk about war and peace in the age of Trump. And of course, it focuses, of course, the main speaker, the star of the show, is of course Dr. Ron Paul. But I thought it was very neat that David Stockman, who besides financial matters, like Ron Paul, cares not only about financial matters, but about the causes of war and peace. When he found out about this conference, he asked if he could come. So of course, we're thrilled about that. Daniel, I know, recruited Eric Margolies, who I always think of as the one actual foreign correspondent. I mean, a guy who actually knows foreign countries, has actually visited them, speaks the languages, and understands the issues of war and peace just brilliantly. And a guy who, if he didn't, if he weren't politically incorrect, correctly politically incorrect on a number of issues, he'd be all over television, as those who will see him either on YouTube or in person at this Ron Paul conference. We'll understand, we'll ask yourself, why the heck isn't this guy all over television, given what he knows, what a great presentation he can give. But it's because his views on the Middle East don't accord with the politically correct views. But he, needless to say, is very much worth listening to.
Yeah.
And Daniel himself will be speaking as well. I'll be there. And we're going to hold it at Brazosport College in Lake Jackson. And this conference with these amazing speakers, with a brunch, there's even going to be a cash bar with Bloody Marys and mimosas for those interested. This is $40. It has to be the greatest bargain I've ever heard of for those of us who are interested in libertarian ideas and in doing what we can against more of the horrific wars that have characterized so much of American history, and especially, it seems like, more recent history. So we're going to have a great time, and I might just mention something very special. The Ron Paul Institute, which is a nonprofit like the Mises Institute, lives off donations. There's going to be something very special. This conference is on Saturday, April 8th, but Friday night on April 7th, there's going to be quite a very special thing at Ron Paul's home for donors of $500 or more. This is a tax-deductible donation to the Ron Paul Institute, and you can just write Daniel McAdams, and I understand Daniel's email address is below me on the screen right now. Write Daniel about this. First of all, it's just tremendous to be at Ron Paul's house and eat Ron Carol Paul's food. Carol is one of the great cooks. She always puts on the most tremendous spread for guests at that house. This is quite a spectacular house. Ron and Carol and all their children, all their grandchildren, and live for a very long time in a much smaller quarters in Lake Jackson. And then Ron, once he retired, built Carol her dream house. And by the way, this is designed by Ron. He had the help of not an architect, but of a draftsman. But I always think, Ron, if there were any political justice in the world, this would be the home of the president of the Republic of Texas. It's all set to go, folks. We can hope for that. So this is a beautiful house. You'll get a chance to be with Ron, be with David Stockman, be with Eric Margolis, be with Daniel McAdams. Going to be some very other interesting people there. I'll be there. And it's going to be a great evening. You get to meet, talk to Ron, shake hands, David Stockman. So $500 donation to the Ron Paul Institute. This, despite the unbelievable importance of the work of the Institute, it's not, how shall I say, exactly as wealthy as some other Washington, D.C. operations are, which advocate murder and theft and looting and all the rest of the things that American foreign policy usually consists of. Well, so it needs the money. You will have a great time. Really, it's a historic occasion to be at Ron's house, eat Carol's food, meet all these people, have drinks. It's going to be something very, very special.
Well, Lou, you've emphasized my house, and I like my house, and Carol likes it. You know, we did buy the property in 1969, and I never got around to building the house. But we finally did that, and we love it. But I have something very special there that I'm very pleased with, and I didn't build it. It's a tree that's about 250 years old. It's the oak tree, and I nicknamed it, you know, the Liberty Tree, the Ron Paul Liberty Tree. So that's a favorite sitting out in our front yard. Daniel?
Yeah, Lou, well, that's a wonderful introduction, and thank you. It makes me excited. I want to go to it, but then I'm going to go to it already. So it sounds terrific. I would add that, you know, our good friend, Representative Thomas Massie, will certainly be there on Friday, and we're hoping he'll be able to deliver a little cameo on Saturday. You know, I think probably Thomas is one of the closest to Dr. Paul in the House. He's taken some tough votes. He was the lone no vote in the House and Senate on a sanctions bill on Iran, which is not easy.
Right.
So,
sure.
So we're looking forward to that. But it is
a great guy, Thomas Massie.
Yeah, he is, and we're thrilled to have him. But, you know, this topic is so timely now, and as things change so rapidly with the Trump administration's foreign policy. You know, Dr. Paul's column today talked about, on the one hand, he says this, which we're excited about, and then on the other hand, there's this. So we're gonna take it apart as analysts. We're not cheerleaders for either side. We're not politicians. We're not political. We're going to try to take a good, solid, honest look at the pros and cons, what's happening, where it should go, what might go, the role of nefarious people like the neocons and the deep state. So I think it's going to be very timely and very exciting, Lou.
Well, it's going to be, these are, as Murray Rothbard always said, as Ron Paul always says, this is the key issue of libertarianism, war and peace. And in fact, it's the key issue in politics and in government. And the U.S. has a very checkered history of fighting a lot of very terrible wars over the course of its history. And that certainly, if it's not speeded up, it certainly continues to this day. And I'd like to think that Trump will keep his campaign promise about not being belligerent towards Russia. There's some unfortunate things going on. You know, who knows? We have a guy who, unlike Ron Paul, doesn't have a set of fixed principles. That doesn't exactly make him unusual in politics, by the way. That's the typical guy. But he doesn't seem to be surrounded by people who don't want a war with Russia. And are the neocons, the deep state, certainly they're very powerful forces that want to continue the wars, want cold wars, they want hot wars. Whether it's the CIA and the NSA and the FBI and all the other intelligence agencies. And they say there are 16, but it's my understanding there are more than 16, including various murder squads that the government has, besides the bigger murder squads it has. So, you know, if when you push a country like Russia back against the wall, and they've got nuclear weapons, it's, you know, there's the meme that I know Ron likes that has gone around that shows a picture of Russia with all the American bases around it, and the caption is, "How dare Russia put their country in the middle of all our bases?" Well, you know, this is life and death is at stake, not only for soldiers and for the poor civilians in a war. And by the way, civilians are always it's far more dangerous to be a civilian in a war than to be a soldier, by the way.
Right.
So you have all that going on, but potentially life on Earth is threatened if the neocons and the deep state and the Pentagon and all these people get their way. So it's a great moral cause. It's important to everything. It's important from a religious standpoint. It's important from a political standpoint to do the kind of work that Ron Paul and Daniel McAdams do in this show and in the Ron Paul Institute. And so we hope to contribute to that at the Lake Jackson Ron Paul Symposium.
And Lou, this conference is obviously billed as, and we'll be talking a lot about foreign policy, but I remember something going on in one of the campaigns, it might have been in 08, in one of the debates, the announcer says, well, last week you talked about economics, this week you're going to talk about foreign policy. And I got interested in politics early on because of monetary things. They fascinated me. And it was at the time of the breakdown of the Bretton Woods, and I started speaking out about it. But the more I went along, the more difficult it is to separate the two. And I want to just get your opinion about and make some comments about this whole idea of how wars are financed and why the Fed has been important about this and why it has tremendous economic consequences. So when Trump talks about how much money was spent, you know, on the wars, he's absolutely right. I just hope he does something about it. But if you look at the history of war after central banks, you know, had the ability to inflate the currency, especially ours, since 1913, there is obviously a very close connection as far as I could tell.
Well, Ron, I think you're exactly right, and there's absolutely no doubt if we did not have the Fed, if we didn't have a worldwide system of central banking, there could, for example, have been no world wars. They never could have fought World War I or World War II because the previous wars always ended with what was disparagingly described as war fatigue, like people just get fatigued by. Well, what they got fatigued by was, of course, the deaths, and they got fatigued by the taxes because in order to fight a war, they had to tax the government had to tax the people drastically. Well, the central bank ended all that. So now when they're thinking about a war, they never worry about the money. It's not even a consideration. Well, the Fed will just print it up. So the Federal Reserve has had, which you, of course, are also the great opponent of, the Federal Reserve has had a deleterious effect in so many different ways, morally, culturally, economically. But one of the things that the worst things about it is it empowers war and the warfare state. And so when you made this point, when George Bush was talking about going to war in Iraq and previous wars, subsequent wars, there's no debate in the House about how they're going to pay for it. The subject doesn't even come up because they just send the bill over to the Fed.
Right.
And of course, when the Fed does what it does, it hurts every American. It hurts, in fact, every human being on the face of the earth is hurt by what these central banks do. So it's not only the bullets and the bombs and the napalm and all the rest of the horrors that the military-industrial conflict complex inflicts on civilians, but the Fed is you were exactly right, of course, to see the Fed as the key issue. It is the key issue, and we wouldn't abolish war if we abolished the Fed, but boy, it would go a long ways towards it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And one of the things I've been interested in, Dr. Paul and Lou, is the issue of experts, you know, and we get a lot of feedback from the shows and from the columns and things. People say, you guys are so right. Why don't you just call up President Trump and have a talk with him? You know, yeah, I'm sure he'll listen, you know. This is a problem. And I listened to what Lou said earlier. People like Eric and David, they really are experts. Their life, they develop their expertise through their lives and what they do. Yet Washington, and unfortunately, I think any administration, even one that means has the best intentions, they fall into the situation where the only people around them who are the experts, especially in foreign policy, are the neocons, are those who want to do more, because that's how you make your name as an expert. You want to push more wars. You want to be David Frum. You want to be Bill Kristol. And it's, you know, and I hope we can address that, you know, at the conference in April, this problem, this sort of crisis of expertise, because they're experts in nothing. They're only experts in chaos and mayhem.
And printing money.
And printing money.
No, it's a good rule of thumb. Anybody called an expert in Washington is a cheerleader for evil.
There you go.
That's
in whatever area, whether we're talking about medical care or wars or the central banking or anything. If you're approved of as an expert by the government and by the media, you're evil.
Yeah. Lou, we're about out of time, but I want to thank you for coming on, and I want to thank you for getting a program down here to Lake Jackson. You might even put Lake Jackson on the map by the Mises Institute coming to Lake Jackson. But go ahead and just announce those dates one more time and what people,
Saturday,
if they decide
April
they
8th.
Want to go ahead.
Saturday, April 8th, take a look at the Mises Org, the events page, mises.org/events. It's the Ron Paul Symposium on Saturday, April 8th. $40 for all these great speakers, plus brunch, plus cash bar. We're going to have a good time. Got to have some fun, right?
This
conference combines what I think is always the key point, doing good and having fun doing it.
Right.
So you're going to meet great people. You're going to meet a lot of compatriots in the audience. And for those of you lucky enough to go to Ron's Friday night event, you're going to get to meet, obviously, Ron and Carol and the other speakers. And a lot of some surprise people, extraordinary surprise people will be there that we can't announce quite yet. But go to the Friday night event, $500 cash tax deductible contribution. $40 to the Mises Institutes in conjunction with the Ron Paul Institute symposium on Saturday, April 8th. Be there. We're going to have a great time.
Okay. Thanks very much, Lou, for being with us today, and we're looking forward to this event. I want to thank the viewing audience today for joining us, and please consider coming to see us in Lake Jackson and come back to the program soon.